Right, ladies and gentlemen, I would like to officially call this commissioners meeting to order Monday, August the 15th, 2022. And I'd like to start out the meeting with Commissioner Branch giving us an invocation and leading us in the pledge. If y'all will, please stand.
Let's pray. Dear wise and precious God, we just want to say thank you for this opportunity, Lord. Thank you for blessing us to wake up this morning in our right mind and able to close ourselves. And thank you for watching out and watching over us to bring us to this point of the day. Father, I ask that you clear all hearts and minds and bring us on one accord to do that which you've called us to do, and that is serve. Lord, let us work together, making decisions that are what's right for the citizens of this great county. Continue to walk with us, Lord, in everything that we do and say. Keep our minds fixed on you as we work together in harmony. Continue to lift us, Father. We give you thanks, we give you praise, we give you honor, and we give you glory. In Jesus' name we do pray. Let us all say amen.
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 Pledge allegiance
to the flag
of
the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, Mr. Branch.
You're welcome.
All right, that brings us to me needing a motion to approve the meeting agenda for tonight, if there's no add-ons by Commissioner. Or you have anything, Mr. Branson?
I do not, Mr. Chairman.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman, if appropriate, I would like to add a moment of silence prior to our consent agenda for Sergeant Matthew Fishman, I believe was his name, out of Wayne County. And then, as most of you have read, Sunday morning, Deputy Ned Bird out of Wake County, both killed in the line of duty, or shot and killed in the line of duty. At a moment of silence for those two individuals.
So we can do that after I get a motion for this.
With the consent agenda, yes, sir, Mr. Chairman.
So moved.
Second. Okay, so I have a motion and a second to approve the agenda for tonight. Any further discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Okay, unanimous. At this point, let's take a moment, if you will, let's please rise and take a moment of silence for these officers. You know, we are so blessed that people are willing to serve, and it's terrible what has happened. So, you know, let's bow and be reverent for a few minutes on their behalf. In closing this moment of silence, I'd like to say, Lord, thank you for all the blessings. You know why we're in this turmoil, and you can pull us through it. We ask that you continue to guide and lead us and take care of these families and help them out for their time of loss. For Christ's sake, amen.
Amen. Amen.
Thank y'all. Okay, I need a motion for the minutes. Approval of last meeting, August 1st.
Second.
I got a motion and a second. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Unanimous. All right, that brings us to the consent agenda.
Motion to approve.
I have a motion. Do I have a second?
Second.
Motion and a second to approve the consent agenda. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Unanimous. All right, that moves us to item number one, public comment.
Mr. Chairman, it's my understanding no one has signed up for public comments tonight.
Okay. In case somebody come in at the last minute, did not get a chance to sign, if you want to speak, we have a 3-minute public comment time. Seeing none, we'll move on to item number two, Mr. Branson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the board. It is now my pleasure to introduce to you Mr. Robert Cox. Robert is your new executive director of tourism for Duplin County. Robert comes to us with a wealth of knowledge in tourism industry, serving almost 12 years with the Alamance Convention and Visitors Bureau as their executive director. He's also a certified destination management executive and a certified sports event executive. So I just wanted to introduce Robert to you and give him a chance to say anything he wants to say to the board. Yes, sir.
Good evening, Commissioners. How are y'all?
Good evening.
Good. Welcome aboard, and you got the floor.
Thank you. I appreciate it. I just wanted to thank you guys for the opportunity to serve. I'm looking forward to some of the ideas and plans that we have. We'll be putting some new things in place, hopefully over the next year to 2 years, that will really improve our tourism outlook and product that we have to offer potential visitors. So I'm really excited. Got some big plans, and I think we're going to do well. Any questions?
Questions for Mr. Cox?
Nothing. Welcome aboard, sir.
Thank you, sir.
Glad to have you.
Thank you.
Welcome.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. That brings us to item number 3, Ms. Melissa Kennedy.
Good evening.
Good evening, ma'am.
Okay, I'm here to conduct a public hearing for Steven Switberg to name a lane off of East NC-24 at the 4800 block in Limestone Township, Beulahville, and he has chosen Timberview Lane.
Okay, at this point, I will open up for public hearing. Any comments anybody would like to make towards naming this lane? Anybody back there in the back?
Okay, let me ask you a question. Suppose another person wanted to name that same lane another name. Would there be, what would
be
the process?
About for this in here?
Yes, ma'am.
They have to come to an agreement before we even get to this point.
Okay.
Yeah.
There was a question I had last time. I was curious about that.
Now, they have to be owners, too, of the property.
Okay, this is your last chance before I close the open session or the open hearing. All right, I'm going to close the hearing. Now,
Motion to approve.
Second. Okay, now I have a motion and a second from the board to approve naming this block in 4800 block off an East NC-24 highway, Limestone Township, Timberview Lane. Any further discussion?
Nope.
Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Unanimous.
Thank you.
Okay, item number 4.
Need to schedule a public hearing for Miss Mary Jernigan. She's wanting to name a lane on North 11 and 903 in the 1000 block. And I guess it'll be the first meeting in September, I think, which is the 6th.
Yes, ma'am.
So I need to schedule that for September the 6th, please, for Mary Jernigan.
So moved.
Second.
Got a motion and a second to schedule a public hearing for the naming of a lane on 1700 block off of North NC 11 and 903 highway in Kenansville Township, Hickory Hill Lane. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Carried.
Thank you.
All right, thank you. That brings us to item number 5. Ryan Cox.
Good evening, Commissioners. I'm here to request a public hearing on the next board meeting, September 3rd, and a public hearing on September 6th and October 3rd. September 6th, initial public hearing to do a CDBG Neighborhood Revitalization Grant application, and a second public hearing to review the application.
Pleasure to board.
Motion to approve.
Second.
I got a motion and a second to approve the two public hearings, one September the 6th and another one October the 3rd. Any more discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Same sign. Carried. Okay? That brings us... Yeah, thank you.
Thank you.
See you on the 6th. That brings us to item number 6. Mr. Frankie Herring.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Good,
about yourself. Going well. I'm here tonight to for a memorandum of agreement for the courtroom cabling for remote proceedings. The North Carolina Administrative Office of the Courts wishes to install cabling in the Duplin County Courthouse to facilitate holding of proceedings by audio and video transmission. The AOC has entered into a contract with E-Plus to provide audio-video installation services throughout the state. The county is responsible for paying the actual cost of the cabling, but the actual devices and the equipment will be paid for by the state. The cost of the cabling will be $8,613. This will be paid for from the courthouse maintenance and repairs budget. The recommended action, the motion to approve the memorandum of agreement for courthouse cabling between for remote proceedings between North Carolina Administrative Office of the Courts and Duplin County, and to authorize the chairman to sign the MOA.
Y'all heard the motion. What's the pleasure of the board?
Is this going to impair the contract with JurisLink?
No, the contract with JurisLink runs through 2024, but the state is installing this throughout the state. It's called the CRAVE system. They're putting it in every county, and this, if our court personnel like it, if our law enforcement personnel like it, it could take the place of JurisLink because there's no cost involved with this system, whereas we're paying JurisLink a yearly maintenance fee.
What is the name of the system?
CRAVE. C-R-A-V-E. I don't know what that's an acronym for.
Yeah, but it's an e-courts. E-courts, they passed the general statute, and it's an e-courts thing now. So.
Thank you.
Pleasure to board.
Second.
Got a motion and a second to approve this memorandum of agreement for the courthouse cabling for remote proceedings. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Carried. All right,
thank you.
That brings us to item number 7, Ms. Pam Brain.
Good evening.
So
I've got with me Samika Bryant-Perry. She is currently my senior HR tech.
Good evening.
I believe we are discussing promoting her currently to an interim HR director since I'm departing at the end of the month. So we are going to tag team the personnel policies. We updated those prior to me leaving. And we're going to, if you would like, I know Tricia Ann provides you a copy with the yellow highlights. If you would like us to summarize some of those policies, we'd be glad to summarize those highlighted policies for you. Or if you have questions about any of the policies, however you would like us to handle that for you.
Let me step in right here. It's strictly up to the board. I'm okay with, you know, what you sent us. You know, I don't have questions. But that don't mean somebody else does. To me, if you've got a question, we can ask you a question and move along. There's no reason for you to go through every one of them, if as far as I'm concerned. But yeah, I want every other commissioner to be happy with it. So the floor is yours, commissioner, to ask questions as you would seek to.
I'm good.
I'm fine. I've read everything.
Bet you didn't think you were gonna get out that easy.
No, I did not, Ms. Rambert. So go ahead and adopt it so I can rule it now.
We're giving you a gift.
Thank you, Mr. Edwards.
Okay, I got a motion to approve and a second. So any further discussion? Just to make it clear, the motion is to approve the update 2022 Duplin County personnel policy as presented to be in effect August the 15th, 2022. The county manager and the county attorney has reviewed and approved. So that's the motion that's on the floor. Just wanted to clarify it in case it needed to be clarified.
And you will need to sign the resolution to adopt those. Yes, okay. Sir.
I do have one question. I just...
Now, see, Mr. Edwards, you didn't do that fast enough because now Commissioner Garner has a question.
Page 10, breaking service. Says an authorized leave without pay will count as a break in service when no local government retirement monies can be payroll deducted on behalf of the employee. So if an employee is out sick, has no sick leave, no vacation, just started, and has to take 2 days without pay, it's going to look like a termination.
Not 2 days.
It's a pay period.
It's a pay period.
If they're out consecutively pay period-wise.
So if they're out a whole pay period, 2 weeks, and then they come back, then their hire date is going to affect
it? No, sir. It'll just look like for that two-week pay period that there was no hours or no pay administered to that employee. So once they return, then the local government retirement system, 6% that deducts payroll,
that's right.
It comes out again.
It picks back up, yeah.
It won't be like a termination.
No, sir. It's only the reason there's a break in service, if there's no paycheck, finance cannot deduct that 6% out of their pay if there's no paycheck.
Correct.
So that's why there's a break in service. So it would have to be a pay period, a paycheck. But it does not alter anything else. No, sir.
But if they've exhausted their leave, they could ask for voluntary shared leave.
That's right. But if they didn't get, the only other choice they've got is leave without pay.
That's right.
But what I'm just making sure of is it's not going to, if you had an employee that's been here, you got to be here 25 years to get health insurance when you leave now?
Correct.
Continuous, yes, sir.
So at 24 years, they get sick and they're out a week. And then we're going to say, no, you can't get health insurance at 25 years because you had a break in service.
Well, those 2 weeks they would just have to work two additional weeks, or they would have sick leave that would bring them up to that 25 years if that's what they needed.
Or they could buy their time back.
Correct.
The retirement system.
Did that answer it?
I don't. He's saying it would be a break in service, and as the personnel policy states, in order to get the health insurance benefit for employees hired after a certain date, you have to work 25 continuous years. So I think Commissioner Garner's concern is if that person has a break of even 1 day, then that's not continuous service as far as the health insurance benefit is concerned. I understand about the local government retirement. I think that's what he's asking, and it's a very good point, but that would be an unusual circumstance to work that long and not have any leave.
I know, but I mean...
Yeah, I understand.
But could it happen? Absolutely.
Yes, absolutely, it could.
If you get diagnosed with cancer,
right?
You know, and you exhaust all your leave, you have to take leave without pay for 2 days. You've had a break in service.
Yeah. But I would hope.
The way that reads, you've had a break in service, and then they'd have to work an additional 25 years to get health insurance.
Theoretically, yes, sir. But we would hope that their fellow employees would come across with some shared leave.
You can hope and assume, and you know what that makes.
But as Samika said, they could buy back.
They can buy back their retirement. They can't buy back their 2 weeks or 2 days that they're gone. That's going to terminate their health care after 25 years of service.
And just to make sure I understand that, that's the issue. Is simply.
And I'm not worried about the retirement part of it.
Yeah. I mean, so we could theoretically come back and just add a sentence to this at our next meeting and. I need to understand a little better, but we could clean this up to where it addresses Mr. Garner's question.
We can try. I think he's pointing out a loophole that we may not be able to plug, but because it's an unusual circumstance,
right.
But it is a circumstance that could take place. But, I mean, 25 years consecutive service is the threshold for gaining retiree health benefits now.
I'm confident with a little time we could figure out a way to answer the riddle that Mr. Garner has put before us, but I don't, I guess for purposes of the motion that's on the floor is what I'm struggling with is, would we, I guess we could motion to approve it as is with the understanding we'll come back, or motion to approve it without this one clause?
Say withdraw the motion and come back in when you get it fixed.
We can do it. We can do any of those for three.
Which can we just adopt the rest of them and not adopt the one that you have concern with, Commissioner Garner? Is that okay?
I don't have a problem with that.
Which one is it again?
Page 10.
I don't see.
The very last sentence in page 10.
Oh, page 10. Of
that's right.
Okay.
The personnel policy.
Okay. I was looking at
definition
this.
Definition of break in service.
Okay.
You need a motion. You need to move to modify it to leave out before this. Remove the withdrawal motion and we do it again next term.
Break in service because we don't have a pay period, a monthly period to the retirement system. But I think those two benefits are mutually exclusive. You can still not be reporting to a retirement system as leave without pay. But then you can also be paying for your insurance benefits because you don't have any time, but you're still paying in the benefits. Say under FMLA, then you still have to keep your benefits intact. So they still pay for their insurance benefits. Does that make sense?
Because FMLA is a protective leave, so yeah, we still have to take care of their health insurance and stuff.
I think this is a staff discussion that we need to have outside of the commissioner's room, but we will address it. If we can
just move to withdraw my motion to approve.
Well, could I ask, because I am leaving, that we approve the personnel policy and then we accept for the break in service and we correct that at the next meeting? Could we do that so Samika and the rest of them could work on that one clause?
Right, that just one.
That one piece.
Which one was it? What page is that?
The highlighted sentence at the bottom of page 10, and it may be what I need to, again, to Mr. Brinson's point, I think we just need to have a discussion about it, but it may be that we just remove that sentence altogether and put it back the way it was, and that may address the issue altogether.
Okay, let's do it this way. I move to modify my motion to approve to include, to approve everything except for the highlighted sentence in page 10, which will be subject to change.
Yes, thank you.
Okay, that's the new motion. We got a second. Further discussion? So all in favor of approving the policy with the striking of the bottom of page 10? Is that correct? The bottom of page 10 or the
highlighted
portion? Of page 10.
Yes, sir.
Just want to make sure we were
yes,
totally clear
yes,
on what we're voting on.
Yep.
Yes, sir.
All right. So, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? So it carried.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, ladies.
Thank you.
I don't think we're going to at the end of it yet. 25 years, we might have some time in there somewhere.
Thank you, Commissioner Garner.
I know a lot of people
catching that.
I just know they had a break in service like that.
Big piece, and I'd hate to see somebody get
carried away. Okay, so that brings us to item number 8, Mr. Branson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the board. I appear before you now to present a budget amendment on behalf of the Sheriff's Office for capital. The Sheriff's Office was approved to purchase 8 Dodge Durangos in this year's fiscal year budget. As Dodge Chargers are no longer available to purchase, in preparation for the budget request, Sheriff's Office was quoted a price of $37,170 per Durango. Since the adoption of the budget, the price per vehicle has now gone up $4,306 each to $41,476. Thus, the capital budget will need to be increased by $34,448 from $297,360 to $331,808. The Sheriff's Office is requesting that the funds be transferred from the lapsed salary budget within their budget.
So, y'all heard the request. Does anybody want to make a motion and open up for discussion, or have you got a question or two now?
I make a motion that we
accept it so we can open up for discussion.
Okay, I got a motion to accept the approval of a budget amendment in the amount of $34,448 from within the sheriff's office budget to cover the cost to purchase 8 Dodge Durangos. Do I have a second?
Second.
Okay, got a second. So that opens up for discussion.
Do you have any specific questions that I can address, or Captain Brock from the sheriff's office is also in the lobby?
Is he in here?
Yes, sir.
Mr. Brock, Captain Brock. Doing good.
Hello.
One question that we've got, or that I've got, I won't even say we, but question I've got is, my understanding is you're short staff, and you know, don't doubt that, everybody is. So, being short staff, do you really need all 8 of these vehicles? Since you're short staff, could you deal with 7 instead of 8? That's my question.
Well, I mean, we always want more, but I'd say definitely we need the 8. I did some homework today. I've got 118 vehicles in our fleet. 25 of those 118 have over 200,000 miles on them. And then we've got 44 with a between 100 and 199,000. So, I mean, we're going to be spending some money on the mechanical side. I mean, so definitely I would say we need the 8.
Okay, well, that was my question, is if you're short staff.
Because if you drove by, you've seen some vehicles parked. Those vehicles have over 200,000 miles, and so if we want to hire someone tomorrow, that's what they're going to be getting at.
Okay, any further questions?
Captain Brock, when you say you need it, it's based on the fact that you have vehicles that's over 200,000 miles and over 199,000 miles. Can you give a roundabout figure of what it takes to maintain those vehicles when they're in excess of those type of mileages?
Well, I mean, it's going to be hard to say because it depends on the driver of the vehicle. I mean, I'd have to go pull some maintenance records, but it's definitely significant. I mean, as far as the wear and tear and the replacing the front ends and transmissions and things of that nature. So I'm going to say this, I mean, not to be disrespectful, but you're better to spend it on the front than you are in the back on the maintenance side.
Captain Brock, didn't you, can I ask a question? Didn't you say you were about to put a catalytic converter system in a vehicle that's got over
186,000 miles on? But it's one of my vehicles, so I'm going to have to put a new Cadillac converter system in it. Tom, I got that phone call today from Mr. Foster down the lane.
Yeah. Who's driving the vehicle that you got to put the catalytic converter on?
It's one of my SROs out at Keenan's. Biff Grady.
Is there a reason why he couldn't drive one of these that's parked up here?
Yeah, they can drive them, and they will drive them if theirs is down being repaired. Yes, sir.
So you will be surplus in 8 of the ones with the most repairs or
the older ones,
are the heaviest mileage.
Yes, sir. When Gene calls me and says, hey, I mean, this vehicle's got 200,000 miles on it, it's going to cost $8,000 or $10,000 to fix it. I think it's, logistically, to say to go ahead and get rid of it.
The 8 that you're rejecting, is that certain drivers or certain positions, or is it truly by cost of repair and maintenance?
Say that one more time.
The 8 vehicles right. That you're buying.
Yes, sir.
That for replacement. Do you know who's going to get those 8 because of positions, or are they
be
those 8
patrol.
Going to
patrol?
Okay.
I think they try to keep the newest vehicles in the patrol division because they're 24/7. As opposed to a school resource That's officer, right. a bailiff, or a detective.
That makes sense.
Yeah, what's the ratio of the vehicles that you surplus to the vehicles that you get new?
I would say I send Mr. Davis a surplus letter every time I get rid of one. If I get eight, I try to get rid of eight. So,
how many do you want to maintain in the fleet?
Well, that just depends. I mean, I've got to keep some spares for some if they go down. I mean, or any additional personnel.
But you know, you already know how many people you have on the sheriff's department. So, how many vehicles do you need that you have to maintain in a fleet?
Mr. Dow, I don't have that exact number. I know that we have specialized divisions that have some, so I wouldn't have that exact number. I weren't prepared for that number.
Any further questions?
Would it be workable with the current budget that you have now of 297, 360, divided by 7, Durangos, at $41,476 a piece? And if you get full staffed before the end of the budget year, come back and see us.
Well, I mean, I typically like to, I mean, put two on each shift at the time. I mean,
can you get eight, Captain Brock?
Yes,
sir. You can get eight.
Yeah,
now.
I've spoke with them. I mean, I'm just waiting on the word to go ahead and put in for the eight. Next year, I might not be able to get anything.
Any more questions? Hearing no more questions, the motion on the floor is to allow, The motion is to approve the budget amendment in the amount of $34,448 from within the sheriff's office budget to cover the cost to purchase 8 Dodge Durangos. Just for clarification, in case it needs to be clarified, you know, our write-up says that they're covering this additional 34 with lap salary money. So, you know, just for the record, we are not extending more money to the budget than what we have in there. It's just being reappropriated.
Yes, sir.
Wanted to make that clear. So hearing no more comments, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed?
Aye.
Carried.
Good evening, sir.
All right, that brings us to item number 9, Tracy Simmons Kanigi.
Good evening, Mr. Chairman and fellow commissioners. The Health Department has several agenda items for this evening. Most of these are ones that were approved last year that do have some carry forward money attached to the new funding for this current fiscal year. So I have to come before you guys to accept the total amount of the monies for each one. The first one is for Advance and Equity. It's AA-466. This is the continuation of funding to address COVID-related health disparities and advance health equity by improving state, local, and territorial freely associated state health department capacity and services to prevent and control COVID-19 infections or transmissions. This agreement addendum provides funding for the local health department to address health disparities and advance by expanding capabilities and services. So we would like to accept the Advance and Equity AA-466 for a total of $67,980 and to approve a budget amendment for this fiscal year.
Y'all heard the request. It's the pleasure of the board. I got a motion and a second to accept this Advance Equity AA-466 66 funding in the amount of $67,980. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Carried.
Okay.
Moves us to item number 10.
The next one is AA 543, the ELC Enhancing Detection Activities. Again, this is some carry forward money with some additional new funding for fiscal year 22-23. This is for the continuation of funding to provide funds for each local health department to prevent, prepare for, and respond to COVID-19 by supporting testing, case investigation, and contact tracing, surveillance, containment, and mitigation. So we are requesting to accept the ELC Enhanced Detection Activities AA 543 for a total of $648,084 and an approved a budget amendment for fiscal year 22-23.
Hold on just a moment, Tracy. I think...
Oh, did I miss one?
I got them out of order, but that's okay. That's number 15.
She went down to the bottom.
On your commissioner's information packet, mm-hmm. Commissioners.
Okay, I see it, ma'am. We're okay with that. We just moved out of number 15 instead of out of number 10. Okay.
So, sorry, I had them in order by AA, so okay. Hold on.
Move to approve. Item 15.
Second.
I got a motion and a second to accept the ELC AA 543 funding in the amount of $648,084. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Carried.
Sorry about that, but I got
this
you in order.
This will be 620.
I got it.
Okay.
I got it.
All
right. Not a problem. We just need to be with you.
Yep, I got it. Sorry, I put them in order. All right, so AA 620 is the ARPA funding for COVID-19 school help team workforce. And again, this is new funding for this fiscal year in addition to some carry forward money from last year. This is a continuation of funding to support school nurse and or other school health serving positions such as health educators, school mental health professionals, school social workers to provide services to students. People in these positions will serve as a member of the school-based health team collaborating with local school health programs to provide COVID-19 support and response in schools. This is to help support salaries of current positions to help improve retention, recruiting, creating and hiring of new student serving positions to fill gaps with this school-based health team or to contract positions as well, as we can foster healthy environments for our students. So we would like to accept the ARPA funding COVID-19 school health team workforce AA 620 for a total of $195,240. And for the approval of a budget amendment for this fiscal year.
Got a motion and a second to accept the ARPA 8A620 up in the amount of $195,240 with the budget amendment. Any further discussion? Hearing none. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Carried. Moves us to number 11.
All right, so this one is for AA 621, which is the ARPA COVID-19 Public Health Workforce. This is for continuation of funding to establish, expand, train, and sustain the state, tribal, local, and territorial public health workforce to support jurisdictional COVID-19 prevention, preparedness, response, and recovery initiatives. This is part of the 10 region support where Duplin County is the lead local health department for Region 8 that we are looking at to continue to fund. And so there's some additional information in that write-up for you guys. So we would like to accept Duplin County to continue to lead Region 8 in this funding for public health workforce AA 621 for a total of $2,084,305 and to approve the budget amendment for this fiscal year.
Got a motion and a second to accept Duplin County as the lead public health county for Region 8 and also the AA 621 acceptance of $2,084,305. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Unanimous.
The next item is AA 546, Communicable Disease Pandemic Recovery. This is continuation of funding to provide local health departments the ability to expand communicable disease surveillance, detection, control, and prevention activities to address COVID-19 and other communicable disease challenges impacted by the COVID-19 pandemic. Requested actions is to acceptance of this funding for Communicable Disease Pandemic Recovery AA 546 for a total of $281,572 and to approve a budget amendment for this fiscal year.
Pleasure to board.
Motion to approve.
Second. Got a motion and a second to accept this AA 546 funding in the amount of $281,572. Hear any further discussion? Hear none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Carried. Item number 13.
This is for AA 716, which is the COVID-19 vaccine program. This is for continuation of funding to help support activities associated with COVID-19 mass vaccination planning and implementation. Planning and response requires close collaboration among public and private sector partners, public health emergency response, and emergency management and healthcare organizations within the community. This funding may be used for associated costs related to COVID-19 vaccine, storage and handling, vaccine planning, vaccine services that we may have at the health department or in the community as well. So we would like to accept the COVID-19 vaccine program AA 716 for a total of $299,150 and for approval of a budget amendment 2022 to 2023 fiscal year.
You heard the request. What's the pleasure of the board? I got a motion and a second to accept the AA 716 funding in the amount of $299,150. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Carried. That moves us to item number 14.
Okay. For the AA 545 funding for the ED Regional Prevention Support Team, again, this is new funding as well as carry forward. It's continuation of funding of the Long-Term Care Regional Prevention Support Team, or called RITS, within the region. So Duplin County here is the lead for Region 8. And so this is to continue to reduce the introduction of disease through on-site training consultation with facilities throughout this 8-county region, and to use evidence-based infection control procedures as well for guidance. So we would like to accept the ELC Enhanced and Detection Activities AA 545 for a total of $390,126 and approve it for a budget amendment for this fiscal year.
I got a motion.
Sir.
I got a motion and a second to accept the ED Regional Prevention Support Team AA 545 funding in the amount of $390,126. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Carry. Thank you, Tracy.
Thank you.
Is that all you could find tonight, Tracy?
I got some work.
Long as you're getting money, keep coming. With that brings us to item number 16, Mr. Gary Rowe.
The tax man. How y'all doing this evening?
Good evening.
Man, everybody looks forward to see.
At least once a year.
Yeah, I really don't think so. Anyway, even my preacher gives me a hard time. Tonight I'm here to present the tax collector summit for y'all's approval. It should be a large handout like this. And then another handout that gave you sort of the number of garnishments and all the collection remedies we used this past year, and the collection percentage for this year and the last several years. If you notice, the collection percentage went up from last year, 96.88 versus 96.62 the previous year. 2019 tax year had dropped down to 96.03. That's when we had the malware attack and the pandemic stuff. And it's been hard to catch it up since then, but we are making progress. If you notice on our, I don't know if you noticed or not, but on our garnishments, we're doing roughly about half the garnishments we were doing before the pandemic. We're just having a hard time trying to garnish people. A lot of people aren't working. If they're working, maybe some at the table, we're having a hard time locating and getting a hold of the paychecks. Anyway, do y'all have any questions on this?
Question for Mr. Rose?
None here.
Okay. Looking for a motion?
Move to approve.
Second.
Got a motion and a second to approve the tax collector's settlement. Hearing further discussion? Hearing none? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Unanimous. Thank you, sir. That moves us to item number 17.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the board. I have just a few announcements or updates I'd like to bring before you tonight about some of our construction projects. I know I've gotten some questions from some of you about some project timelines. This morning, I attended the kickoff meeting for our water department SCADA system improvements. That project is began today. The project contract calls for a 270-day schedule, so the completion date will be May 27, 2023. Tomorrow we'll be holding a meeting with our architect, Mr. Daggett of DWG Architects and Quadrant Construction, to begin discussions for the construction to begin on our animal care control and adoption facility. As soon as I have a timeline for that, I will bring it before the board. The parking project at the event center is scheduled to be advertised for bids beginning on the 25th of this month. It will be advertised for 2 weeks with a bid opening to take place on September the 9th. And hopefully we will be able to present the project award to the board for your consideration at your September the 19th meeting. The Senior Services and Veteran Services Facility. We have had the initial meeting with Daniels and Daniels Construction Company of Goldsboro, and also with Intrepid Architecture, and we are expecting a draft design build contract for us to begin reviewing within the next 2 days. He said he should have it, Mr. Daniels told me he should have it to me by Wednesday. So those are the updates I have as far as our projects. Do you have any questions I could answer on any of those? Okay, one other thing I wanted to bring before you tonight, our JCPC, Juvenile Crime Prevention Council for the county. We have some vacancies on that board, and I just want to tell you what the vacancies are to see if you have any ideas that you can bring to me either tonight or outside of the meeting. We need a person under the age of 21. We also need a person under the age of 21 or a member of the public representing the interest of families for at-risk juveniles. We need a member of the business community. And we have 3 vacant county commissioner appointee positions that can be any citizen of the county. So if any of you have any ideas for individuals who you may think would be a good fit for our JCPC, or if you would like to talk to your constituents and get back to me, I'll be glad to take those names and pass them along. That's all I have tonight. We do not have a need to hold a closed session for legal matters. So therefore, I would like to point out that our next meeting will be on September the 6th, and that is a Tuesday night because the 5th is a holiday. So we'll be meeting on Tuesday, September the 6th. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Okay. Thank you so much. Branson.
Mm-hmm.
So the fact that we're not going to have a closed session What, anything from the board?
Make a motion to adjourn.
Okay, I got a motion to adjourn. Do I have a second?
Second.
All in favor? Rise.
I'm not shy.
We're dismissed.